Perth Live Sport with Brad Hardy. For Ross's Auctioneers and Valuers. Auctions weekly at 453 Orong Road, Welshpool. Visit auctions.com.au.
Brad Hardy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ollie Peterson. Not that we didn't already know this, but we're in a bit of trouble in the cricket.
We're in a lot of trouble. 6 for 97 at the moment. Payne's on 5. Cummins has naught. You know what, Brad? I was just having a look at the averages for the series of our other batsmen, excluding Bancroft, Warner and Smith. Have a look at this. Yep. Khawaja, 20.62. Marsh, yep. Mitchell, that is, 22. Sean, 18.37. What a terrible series the Australian batsmen have had.
Yeah, it's been abysmal. There's been some shining lights occasionally in single innings, as you say, but collectively it's been very, very disappointing. It's the first series we've lost to South Africa in a long, long time over there. And I think the bottom line, mate, we can't wait to regroup and get them back to Australia.
Yeah,
start
indeed.
Again, reset.
I'll tell you, obviously the positive light is our acting captain, Tim Payne, and he's averaging 53. We'll talk more cricket in a moment, but James Hird, is he going to Freo or not?
No. He's not going there. So, look, they had continued discussions as we've had been doing for the last few weeks, and it became a little bit too difficult for everybody in the end. So, they decided to let it go. And I think that's, we thought that would probably go that way anyway. Hurdy was thrown an olive branch by Fremantle, you know, maybe to get his toe back in the water. We were already going into round three. We thought, well, this is a bit weird. You know, if you're going to have somebody doing a forward analysis or a forward scout type role, they should have already been in place before round one. And, you know, with his chocolate interests and other things, no Hurdy for Fremantle, mate.
Yeah, I saw a headline, time constraints, and I can understand, as you said, his other interests and everything, but I thought that was an interesting excuse why he can't join something for time constraints.
Well, it's like when people give up positions and, you know, got to spend more time with the family and all of that sort of stuff. It's just this lock, stock and barrel, you know, bulltish way of saying I'm not coming.
True. Now, David Warner's in Melbourne. Is he visiting you?
No, he's not. He and Candice Fells on, his wife, have been down here. They've just walked out of our solicitor's chambers in the city. So it's raised a few eyebrows down here. There's no doubt that he's certainly trying to execute a pathway to get everything, every duck in a row, I reckon. So we'll just wait and see where this goes. There's been rumours today that he could have been maybe up for a $1 million tell-all to one of the TV networks. And of course, his legal eagles are trying to source what the actual integrity unit found out from some of the other players, their statements. This is all going to come together pretty quickly, I would have thought, Ollie. And if he reads what he doesn't want to read, I'd be saying watch out. The time bomb could be ticking.
Yeah, and I think they've got till next week, but if they want to launch an appeal, and of course the president of the Australian Cricketers Association, Greg Dyer as well, saying that the sanctions were too harsh. So that narrative, the momentum's building at the moment, Brad, that would appear, whether it's David Warner by himself or Cameron Bancroft and Stephen Smith as well, to launch some sort of action or to take this a step further. That appears to be what we're about to hear.
Correct. But as I say, I think what he's doing is he's crossing his T's and dotting his I's and just seeing if he can get all of that information. If he looks like he's going to be the only one thrown under the bus, I think we all agree, you know, it was really, really solid, those penalties. We know that. So we expected them to appeal on that basis, that maybe they were a little harsh. But if he finds out the information that doesn't read up too well and that he's the only one getting thrown under the bus and it was all him, and some of the players, you know, denied that they knew anything about it or, you know, it was all David or whatever, which puts him in the zone, mate, watch out. I think he'll bite back.
And is growing support, Brad, for Tim Payne to stay on as the test captain?
Yeah, on the back end of, you know, making everyone shake hands with everyone before the test match started, and he's got the innings with a broken thumb. He's in there again at the moment. He's not out on 7, you know, and we're staring down the barrel of a humiliating defeat, not only in the match but the series. Yeah, so he's starting to garnish a lot of support from a few of the past players and the like because, if you look at it, our next candidate, Ollie, I mean, it's not a Melbourne Cup feel.
No. No, it's not. I mean, I know that George Bailey's name's been mentioned, but whether or not he even has a spot on the side is another question. And anybody else who's there at the moment, as we just ran through, Khawaja, Mitchell, Marsh, Sean Marsh, well, they're not exactly setting the world on fire with the bat anyway.
No, I think it's very... You don't pick a captain, you know, first and then put the team around him, unfortunately. I think you've got to have a player who's going to be cemented in the team. And we've had that with Steve Smith. You know, we've had that with Ricky Ponting. We've had that with Mark Taylor. We've had that with Steve Waugh. We've had it with Alan Border. They were permanent fixtures. But right at the minute, unfortunately, with all this other noise going on around the place, plus poor form, there's not too many that are guaranteed to start in any test series coming up.
No, there aren't. Not at all. Now, whispers in the sky, Mark, too.
Yeah, many years ago, probably before your time, there was a bit of a controversy of whispers in the sky, and I think Tony Jones had overheard something on an aeroplane, and you know, another passenger might have written down what was actually said by, at the time, by a passenger who had held a position in the AFL. Well, looks like that might have happened again. There's some sort of suggestion that a confidant of a current league coach might have been flying interstate somewhere for commitments, and might have let out of the bag that his mate wasn't happy where he was and was maybe looking to change teams next year and, you know, relocate. He'd, you know, sort of had a gutful of where he was.
So this is a coach of one of the big teams, is it, Brad?
This is a coach of one of the 18 teams in the competition, mate, yeah. Ooh. Who may have told his confidant that he wasn't happy where he was and, yeah, maybe looking to change clubs next year. So there's a few not going so well at the moment, so we'll just see where it leads to, mate, and see how much more detail comes out over the next few weeks.
Gee, that Uber driver with the Stefanovic brothers, he gets around, doesn't he? He's on the aeroplanes now.
He may well have been. He may well have been, Ollie.
Good on you, Brad. We'll watch this space.
All the best, pal.